You are listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.
Kirin's The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest.
Chapter 15. The momentous meeting was over. So Mogers wouldn't have to leave for their tree, Yorals invited them to stay and provided hospitality, the clans feeling more secure being together after the horrifying night. Sentries were left on duty, but most Yorals retired to their homes. During these early daylight hours, the three youngsters with the knowledge were finally protected in the bosoms of their families, and they slept soundly. Resting in the entryway of Hutt's home, warmed by the dying coals in the fireplace, were Jilin and his family. For a journey of this distance, Bird Eilon would surely be required. But not all the selected travelers had them. Before the meeting had ended, the Mogers, widely recognized for their expertise with ravens, volunteered birds for those needing them. At midday, the elected party and visiting clan would depart for Rogustan. Before the appointed time, Yorl mothers arose to prepare a meal for families and friends, as mothers have from time immemorial, but without joy on this morning, for their peaceful world was shattered. Deep in thought about her son's impending departure, Hutt's mother was mechanically preparing his favorite breakfast of spring berries and nuts, and glanced up when he entered the kitchen. Moments later, his father followed quietly through the door. The lad and his father sat down in the breakfast nook in a corner of the kitchen. The table and benches, the room itself, had been sculpted from the wood of Rogallinon, carved by woodworkers those many years ago. Above the table was a window to the outside, through it shining rays of the late morning sun. The two sat silently as Hutt's mother served breakfast. No words were exchanged as they began eating. Then Hutt spoke. "We leave shortly for the Mulgar tree to receive Bird Eilon." The reality of the task ahead was beginning to sink in. His father glanced through the sunlit opening. "It will be a good day for travel." He paused. "Whatever happens, remember, especially when things become difficult. Your family, your clan, your race are proud of you." "I'm excited," said Hutt, "but I explore my heart and find no fear." "I'll send spring fruits and nuts with you," said his mother, knowing the despondency each morning's awakening would bring until her son returned. Speckerin and Duan spent the morning in the Yorl magician's apartment, sorting through items in his work area. Realizing that magic might be the only means to combat certain forces, the two worked diligently at the cluttered workbench and in surrounding shelves, looking through materials Speckerin had collected over the years. Toward midday, after examining, testing, and selecting what they felt would be most useful, they had a little time to rest. Both fell fast asleep, Duan in a chair by the fireplace, and Speckerin, perhaps for the last time, he thought, on his old bed. Before the announced departure time, the gathering place began filling and bustling with Kirins of both clans. Yorls were ready for activity, Mogers eager to go home. All were grateful that no recurrent attack had come. Of the traveling party, Hutt, Deliani, Tali, and Jilin were present.
"Where are the magicians?" asked someone.
They weren't there, and a tremor of anxiety ran through the crowd. Halset hurried to Speckerin's apartment. The tapping of a great toe on the door brought the sleepy magicians to life. After all too brief a slumber, thought Speckeron, struggling to his feet. Gathering his equipment into a manageable pack took but a short while. Then the magicians appeared, moderately disheveled, on the wooden deck outside. Raising his arms slowly and wearily, Speckeron cleared his throat. Those who stay at home remain safe and in good health. For those of us leaving, thoughts of home will be with us wherever we journey. May those thoughts remind us why we roam. Not a bad speech, he thought, for an old and tired magician. The chosen party and the Mulgar clan set off, a few on foot, most on birds, and Hutt on his faithful friend Stala. Early that morning, at the conclusion of the long nighttime meeting, Speckeron had dispatched messengers to two neighboring clans, inviting the magicians to a private meeting on Rogustin, the Mulgar tree. Already present when Speckeron and Duan arrived were Fuad Ruvez of the Zota clan and Golan of the Stunfin clan. They, along with Duan and Speckeron, retired to Duan's quarters. Speckeron described the recent astounding events and discussed what the traveling team planned to do. The neighboring magicians had heard inklings of trouble, but nothing close to this had occurred in their domains. Fuad Ruvez and Golan were of the same persuasion Duan had been previously. They found it difficult to believe anything serious was wrong in the hierarchy of Kirin magic. After considerable discourse, they were unwilling to support a mission as risky as this. As I feared, said Speckeron after the other two left, very, very short-sighted of them. Duan, we're on our own. Standing together on Rogustin's gathering place were Hutt, Speckeron, and Deliani. The tree's name, meaning anchorage in Ruvan, was hardly appropriate for those about to depart. The communal area here was smaller, but otherwise like Rogalanon's. The three Jarls waited in anticipation, for each was about to be given control over a raven. Except for Rugum Chamter, Deliani, and a few others, Jarl Kirins weren't as proficient with birds as Mogers. Jilin was a skilled master of Lawana, a strong and reliable bird. Tali had flown on Farallon for several years, while Hutt had never ridden on a bird. Deliani's current raven was in an early instructional phase. Because of the bird's youth and inexperience, he was deemed unqualified for the mission. And, surprisingly, Speckeron, like young Hutt, had never flown. Neither the occasion nor the requirement to fly had arisen, the old magician rationalized over the years. Every day he saw members of his clan or others arrive and depart on the black-winged creatures, and he often wondered what flying was like. But his duties were almost always near home. Learning to control a wild creature like a raven seemed a complicated process, and he never expended the effort to do so. Occasionally, he traveled to tree-naming ceremonies for neighboring clans, but took a little longer and hiked the distance, pleased to have time to himself in the forest. However, when he scrutinized his feelings, he recognized that, in truth, he didn't want to fly. Tree-dwelling Kirins have no fear of heights, and in climbing trees, Speckeron was as confident as anyone. But that meant bark and branches solidly against hands and feet. Sailing through thin air on a creature allegedly under his control was a different prospect entirely. At last night's gathering, while the travelers were being selected, he had been troubled by the inevitable mode of travel. But in the heat of the moment, he had other things to think about. Now that flying was imminent, as he stood gazing across the gathering area at three gigantic birds, he was frightened indeed. During last night's meeting, everyone had recognized the voyage's importance, and Mulgar overseers conferred privately. Experts in Raven Islandry, and knowing some voyagers had no birds, they discussed which were their most seasoned and dependable ravens, and best suited for the trip. Today, when Duan informed them the party would not receive help from other clans, the overseers decided to part with three, and determined which ones. One of the overseers now approached the Yorl visitors.
Lugor, he said, our senior practitioner of Curley's magic, will introduce you to your new Eilon. Please.
He gestured toward the opposite side of the platform, where the group of ravens and their masters stood. Other Mogers were scattered about to observe the ceremony. The visitors were starting to cross the platform when Hutt caught sight of Stala, his longtime companion, being led away to be returned to the Yorl tree. The squirrel turned to look at Hutt, unsure why he was being removed from his young master. Hutt stopped and waved to his old chum, then called to him in Curlais. Tonica, Alicia, Nimbantar, go home, wait for me. I'll return as soon as I can. Reassured, Stala turned and continued on his way. When that might be, thought Hutt, I have no idea. According to Jilin and Tali, not until we've traveled countless clan dominions to the east. Hutt had little concept of what that meant, never being farther from home than two nights ago. He only knew it was a great distance and it would take a long time. He watched until Stala was out of sight, and was sad, but not just about the parting. He knew what it signified. Stala had been a playmate, a friend, a confidant. It was the end of an era, the end, in fact, of childhood. It was not a child's problem threatening the clans. It was not a child's mission he was undertaking. He turned back to the scene before him. Spekeren and Deliani had already joined the small gathering. For a few moments, Hutt stood by himself and watched. A Curlais ceremony, unlike anything he had witnessed, was commencing. The realization that he'd be graduating to a bird Eilon began permeating his thoughts and mingling with his misgivings. Slowly he approached the gathering. Each Eilon, Lugor was explaining, was a mature and trained raven, graciously loaned by the bird's owners, who stood beside their Eilon. Then, through soft, loving Curlais words and with touches and caresses, Lugor began transferring control of these winged creatures, whose entire existences were spent serving Kirin masters, from the owner to himself. When a bird was under his control, the previous master backed away from his beloved Eilon and faded into the crowd. When all three were in Lugor's power, he turned to the Yorls and asked them to come closer, then remain still. During the following portion of the ritual, incomprehensible to Hutt and seeming to go on forever, neither the birds nor the Kirins, save Lugor, moved, and only Lugor spoke. Eventually he turned to Spekeren and asked him to be the first to select a bird. Hesitating, then with effort to quell his fear, Spekeren chose the oldest and largest raven. Its name was Osalam, meaning enchanted flight in Ruvan. Control of the black bird was transferred to him. Next, Deliani selected Mane, meaning protector, and stewardship of this bird was given to her. The remaining bird, Lisam, Seeker of the Skies, was placed under Hutt's guidance. He had dreamed of soaring on an eagle, or any bird for that matter, the dream of many a Kirin youth. But now, approaching Lisam, he was surprised at not being thrilled that his dream was coming true. Instead, he yearned for Stala. The ceremony was over, and Lugor approached Hutt.
The first one is forever special, said the senior practitioner.
The lad was astonished. The elder must have read his mind. How did you know what I was thinking?
I saw you as they led your old friend away, said Lugor. You'll miss him, but must think of him differently now.
He'll remain your comrade, but no longer your transportation and constant companion. We must leave Squirrel Island behind and other aspects of childhood. Now, my lad, you've much to learn about Lisam, this fine and faithful creature, and little time to do it. Deliani and Speckerin have had much longer to learn about Bird Island than you, and even they will need practice. Lingering nearby, Speckerin was listening to Lugor's comments. Deliani learned long ago, he thought, but I have as much to learn as Hutt, if not more. Bring your bird, lad, and follow me, said Lugor. Speaking to the bird and patting her sable chest, Hutt used the same curlace phrases he had with Stala. The creature didn't move. Say this, said Lugor. Ovan monisum teosiko. Hutt repeated the words, and the great bird stepped toward him. The lad began walking, and the Eilon followed. We'll go to the upper branches, said Lugor. You'll be flying in no time. Oh, called Speckerin, smiling and starting toward Lugor. May I join you? I must admit I haven't had as much experience flying as I should have. I, too, could use practice. Of course, said the elder. For many years he'd observed those in both clans who flew, and was well aware Speckerin didn't. Repeat the phrase to Ocelam, and he'll come with you. Hutt and Speckerin spent the remainder of the day with the curlace practitioner, learning rudimentary commands to control their new Eilon. Hutt made a flight on his raven, but not Speckerin. As the day wore on, it was obvious the old magician was as inexperienced as the lad and had deep fears to contend with. Lugor had trouble getting him to even touch his bird. Deliani, meanwhile, became acquainted with Manet on her own, leaving Lugor more time for the others. That night, Hutt stayed with Jilin's family. Having barely slept the previous two nights, he fell into a deep slumber in the security of his cousin's dwelling. Arising early in the morning, he met with Speckerin and Lugor. Sentries had been posted day and night to protect against assaults. No further attacks or evidence of Granums, reported Lugor. This news circulated through the Mogurs, and they were relieved. It did little, however, to allay the apprehensions of the five of the chosen party, and during preparation for departure, they were never at ease. Lugor had devoted a lifetime to the study of curlace magic, and his two pupils couldn't be expected to absorb it all. Hutt became comfortable on the beautiful and graceful Lisam, and Lugor spent more time with the magician. Late that morning, Lugor accompanied Speckerin on a flight on Ocelam, Lugor in front, the magician clinging to him and the raven. As soon as they lifted off, Speckerin closed his eyes. Lugor glanced back. Open your eyes, friend! Conquer your fears! Opening them widely, Speckerin was amazed. Passing beneath was a majestic landscape, oaks, maples, and pines, displaying countless hues of green, winding streams, a patchwork of sun and shade, viewed from a perspective he'd never experienced. Remembering where he was, he wanted to close his eyes and not open them until they landed. But knowing he had to fly, he forced himself to observe everything until they touched down on Rogustan. The magician climbed on and off Ocelam many times, getting the feel of things, the curlace elder encouraging him. Finally, Lugor summoned his own raven so they could fly together. I know I must, said Speckerin shakily, seated atop his raven, feet entwined about the great bird's neck. He glanced longingly at the ground below and chuckled. Would that these feet were solidly planted on you! He glanced at Lugor. Let's get it over with. I'll be behind you, said Lugor, then beside you to observe. A knot in his stomach, Speckerin commanded flight, and Ocelam lifted off. With Lugor close by, Speckerin flew in a wide circle over the treetops and came back to alight on Rogustan. Lugor landed near him. Good flight! Now, do it again! In a moment, said Speckerin, trying to catch his breath. Then he took off again, and again, and made many flights, increasing the length each time.
"You're ready," said Lugar finally. "You'll do well."
"I wish I was as confident as my mentor," thought Spekeren, making his way down the tree toward Duan's quarters. Spekeren passed the evenings with Duan discussing the clans and the expedition. Spending the nights in Duan's apartment, Spekeren slept little, thinking about flying and hoping he'd accumulate skill, knowledge, and courage in the days to come. Tali and Jilin spent time with their families. They both possessed Bird Eilon, strong enough for a long journey. Tali's raven was Farallon, meaning shimmering ebony. Jilin's was Loana, timeless fortitude. Because he was invisible, Jilin's last 2 days at home were difficult. His family demonstrated their love and encouraged him, but they had second thoughts about whether he should go or remain in the safety of home. Despite the perils, they decided he should go, hoping something might again make him visible, and Raydel as well. Though never voicing it, his mother knew in her heart he was the handsomest lad in either clan and the cleverest. She could only hope he'd recover and return as a normal lad. In the early morning of the third day after the travelers arrived on Rogustan, everyone from both clans came together on the gathering place for the party's departure. Standing by Osalam, Spekeren was apprehensive but resolute. He viewed flying as a necessity, a means of transportation, not pleasurable by any stretch of the imagination. The spring sun was warm as final goodbyes were spoken. Then the group of five mounted their Eilon, and at a signal from Spekeren, they lifted off together. Climbing through the air to the treetops, in moments they were gone. Chapter 16. At a considerable altitude, the five Kirins flew eastward in formation, Tali in the lead, blonde hair flowing. Of the two with the knowledge, she was the only one they could see. Spekeren was behind and to her right, Jilin to her left. Deliani flew behind Jilin to keep his raven in sight, and Hutt filled out the V formation behind Spekeren. Flying steadily throughout the sunny morning, they could have conversed from the backs of their Eilon, but said little, deeply into thoughts and emotions of their own, which ranged from melancholy to fear to exhilaration. The only one who spoke with any frequency was Jilin, Calamar in hand, giving instructions to Tali.
"How will we determine our route?" Spekeren had asked Tali the day before. "It's eastward, of course, but we'll have to be a bit more precise than that."
"Our exact bearing," she replied, "is built into Jilin's Calamar. Olaman showed him how to find and read symbols that tell us. It was the last thing Olaman taught us." Now, flying with the party, Tali recalled her short expedition in this direction 4 days earlier, and actually saw a familiar feature in the landscape.
"Jilin, look below," she called. "There's the stream I slept by the other night. From that bank I saw you and Hutt through the toe ring."
Jilin looked down at the stream. "I'm glad you discovered how to use the ring," he said, trying to remain cheerful, but because of his condition he was the most depressed of all. Even though he had never been far from home, Hutt's anxiety about leaving promptly changed to delight. To be in extended flight for the first time, to feel warm air rushing by, to see blue skies above and forests, lakes, and fields below was a breathtaking experience, and he was enjoying himself immensely. For the first time, all the ravens were in flight together. They were massive and strong, and Hutt was struck by their power and grace, their wings undulating upward and downward, which he found pleasing, even soothing. But much of the time the giant birds glided, resting their wings, allowing their masters both a smooth ride and an incomparable view. It was a long morning for Spekeren. He knew it would be, and could only hope things would improve. Finding no pleasure in flying or the view, he expended most of his energy clutching the raven and trying to maintain his composure. Late in the morning, Jilin spied something ahead, high in the sky, a shining white body with wings and a tail, appearing to be moving in their direction. He had occasionally seen things like it from a high vantage point in the home forest, but only in the distance on the horizon, and they always seemed to be moving slowly. Among clan youngsters, rumor had it, they were some type of human contrivance. But this one was coming toward the party, though at a great distance, and soon he realized it might be moving faster than he thought. He became alarmed, fearing it to be a Volodon, the flying counterpart of a Granum, or some other monster they knew nothing about. Olaman had said there might be others. He called to Tali, who saw it too. He looked at Spekeren and saw how distracted he seemed, then turned to Deliani behind him and asked what it was. "Believe it or not," she said, "it's a means of transportation. Humans are too large and cumbersome to fly the way we do. What you see is a gigantic machine to move them from place to place."
Kirin's The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest.
To learn more about Kirin's, visit www.kirinbooks.com.
You have been listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.